to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
Pummeling. I was like, wow, what a heavy track, man. That was a band called Wage War. I played them on the show before, and the song's called Sweet Dreams. Not to be confused with the Eurythmics, Sweet Dreams. It's not the same one. A little bit different. A lot heavier. And the guy's not wearing a suit, the short red hair, and that's not going on in this video. But no, actually, Rage War, very cool band. See them a couple times live. Been around since 2010, 16 years. It's crazy to see these young bands that are not that young anymore. They've been doing it for 16 years, and you're like, oh my God. You still, it's so weird because with the classic bands, you know they've been around 30, 40 years, something like that. And you're like, all right, cool, cool. And you got these young guys that come in, and they have all this energy and power, and they're putting out this great new music. And then you're like, shit, man, they've been around a while now. The band's out of Florida. And again, very cool. If they ever come to your town, I recommend you go. If you're in the UK, they're about to be on tour over there. And the band tonight that I interview, they're about to do a UK tour as well. Not on the same bill, different bills. But yeah, if you're in the UK, you got some music coming your way from the US that's going to kill. Going to knock you on your ass over there. Anyway, guys, back in the saddle. Again, like I said last episode, trying to get these back on track. Right now, like on a two-week rotation. But I think I'm going to have two in a row. One this week and one the following week pretty quick. So I've done a couple interviews. The next show is going to be very beer-centric for you beer nerds out there. So I hope you get ready for that. There's some music talk in there as well. But the main focus next week will be beer. So this week is a lot of music. So the band I interview, you've heard them before on the show, and they are friends of the show. And my boy Danny from Wicked, they've got a new record coming out. So Danny wanted to come on and talk about it, and we dive into it. And it comes out on the 21st. So you're hearing some of this stuff a little bit earlier than when the actual release is. So you're welcome. But actually, it's funny, while I was doing some research for the show tonight, I noticed that a band that I have not heard from in a long, long time just put out a new song. The band's called Heaven's Edge. They were kind of one of those hair metal bands that came in late 80s, maybe early 90s-ish. And, you know, with the way the scene was, hard to get traction, as you know. So a lot of these bands kind of died a quick death, didn't make it far. But you know your good friends over at Frontiers Records to say, hey, you know, we like that record or two you did. We want you to do a record for us. So I tell you what, we're going to check out a brand new song from Heaven's Edge called What's He's Got. Let's see if they still got it. Let's do it. We'll be right back. Okay, what do you think about that? It's not bad. Is it great? No. They were not to bang on the band. Not my favorite. You know, they came out in 87. So, yeah, at the tip of things were still kind of going well in 87. You know, you had your Whitesnakes and stuff like that. The band's from Philly. And then they got their first record out in 1990. So it was called Some Other Place, Some Other Time. And it came out in the time where grunge was starting to rear its ugly head. The market was saturated with these kind of glam metal bands. And they died kind of a quick death, unfortunately for them. But then they resurfaced back in 98, did some gigs here and there, and then put out a new record in 2023 called Get It Right. And here they are back 3 years later with their new record coming out in November called Philadelphia. The interesting thing I found out about this band is it's almost the original lineup. Or would be, but unfortunately the bass player, a guy named George Gigi Giudotti, he passed away. So, very interesting that a band that was, you know, not that big and, you know, have just been, I guess, gigging here and there are still almost all together original. So good for them. I'll check out the rest of the record. I mean, that song's good enough for me to say, oh, okay, I'll see what else they got. The song that they sold me off the debut was a ballad. And I'm like, I thought it was a great song. It's called Hold On To Tonight. So we're going to play that real quick and see what you think, how they've matured, how they've aged. I don't know. The songs on that Some Other Someplace, Some Other Time, they were okay. But again, the market was saturated so much at that point in time where you're like, oh, I've been there, done that. I've heard that. And do you want to hear more? But they did have a great ballad, this Hold On To Tonight, which actually I've listened to many times over the years since it came out. So great song. Hope you guys enjoy it. Grab your loved one. Cuddle up next to the fire. No, it's too fucking hot. But cuddle up. Take your clothes off. Kind of shag yourself off over there. And go shag to this song. Shag. Who says shag? I guess I did. Yeah. Go get your romantic moment on. Go put on your silk robes. All right, enough of me. Here we go. like Hold On by Heaven's Edge. Hey, if you had sex during that song, good for you. Just clean yourself up. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, I will.
John, you beat off to that song?
He said put on a silk rod in my bed. Don't judge me.
I'm not judging you. I was telling our listeners that, I had another partner and all that, that maybe they would want to do that. But here we go. Here we go with you. So anyway, Heaven's Edge, I love that song, Hold On. I mean, just, again, these bands, when they're younger, sometimes create, better music, right? But there are bands that can carry on. So I'm very curious about Heaven's Edge's new release because I'm like, do we do something off the 2023 release? Maybe we do. I mean, we did the beginning. No, not the end, but the present. But why don't we do, pre-present? So 2 years ago. Let's do something off that last record and see how it holds up compared to Hold On. Again, I was never a huge fan of the first record, and that was their, that's the thing that put them on the map, right? And that song, Hold On, it's kind of got that White Snake vibe to it from 87. Even though the record came out 3 years later, it takes these bands a while to get signed, or it did back in the day, to get signed. So they had these songs in their corral, musical corral, if you will. And they're, I don't know, unfortunately the industry changes. So again, that song could have been the staple for a long time before they get to record the record. They got to get signed. It takes time, or used to. I'm sure it still does now. Be curious to ask. But there's so many artists, like the artists we're going to talk to later tonight, that have said, fuck the record labels. We're going to do it ourselves. We'll make our money, we keep all our rights, and it's a better place for us. So let's do something off Get It Right and see if they got it right, just like the other song. Here we go, let's do it. Been off Get It Right. Kind of an apropos title for sure. I mean, what could have been had the music industry not changed at the time that they released their debut record? There's so many bands that got caught up in that, right? And I think the music industry is so interesting in that if you look at late 70s, early 80s, hard rock, heavy metal coming out. And I've talked about this ad nauseum. But there were bands like King Cobra, Icon, Rough Cut, so many bands that came out with these debut records that were so killer. And then the industry changed. It's, hey, we need something poppy. And it killed so many bands. They're like, well, we don't do that. Well, if you don't do that, then you're going to be dropped from the label. So they scramble to try to write a hit. And then they get polished. And they, you know, smooth up the sound of the band. And you're like, I don't like this. The fans did not like this. The fans that bought those records in the beginning were like, fuck yeah. We got balls. We got this heavy shit. But no, the label's like, no. Kenny Loggins is popular. Michael Jackson is popular. They're pop. Michael Jackson could be metal because he had Eddie Van Halen on Beat It. You gotta do this, guys. And against their will, a lot of bands did that, and it killed their career. Did it kill it all the way? No, because they came out later on and sharpened the sound after they had their one album that just was a fucking dud. Because they went too commercial. Had these labels left these bands alone, God only knows what kind of great music we could have got from them in their prime. But no, no, the labels know better. It's a shame. So, you know, I've talked a lot about Heaven's Edge, and a lot of people are like, who the fuck are they? Well, they got a new record coming out. And they're, what, 30 years old or whatever the band is. They've been around for a long time, 40 years, almost. But, hey, check them out, support them if you dig it. All that said, I'm very thirsty, Mr. G. What, no theatrics? What's going on with you?
I got a shot by Lone Dune Heaven's Edge.
Oh, wow. And no mic on?
I was feeling intimate.
Oh, intimate with yourself. Good for you. All right, let's jump into this beer. So, I'm going to talk a little bit about this a little bit later on the show, but I was recently in Boston eating lobster. It's chowder. And I actually went to the Green Monster. And also went to Treehouse. And got this, I hope, great beer. It's their Green Series. And this is the Marshmallow. So apparently they do their Green IPA. And I guess put marshmallows in there. It's kind of what the guy told me. Let me see what they say. Oh, there's too much. Too much to talk about. Let's see. Authentic ingredients, individual character, an integrated and delicious outcome. What was once only a draft favorite has finally made it to the can. Marshmallow Green is conditioned on mounds of these sugary treats for a creamy rendition of this Treehouse IPA. The resulting beer carries waves of pineapple, tangerine, and aromas of mellow marshmallows. The rendition of the Green is soft, pillowy, with a dollop of nostalgia, fit for a sundae. Oh, wow, I'm going to have a dessert beer. All right, let's look at this thing. Looks really great. Very, very thick, rich and creamy looking. A little bit ahead, some lacing retention on the glass. Let me do an aroma check. Smells like normal green. Normal green's really good. It's a good hazy IPA, Citra, and a little bit bitter on the finish. But this got the marshmallow, so I'm really curious to see what it's going to taste like. So let me clink myself. Oh, wow. That's nice. This is interesting because it kind of tastes like a milkshake IPA, but not. There's no lactose. But it's the, I don't even know what a marshmallow is made of. A bunch of shit that's not good for your insides. I know that. And sugar. But, wow, this is nice. Let me do one more clink. Oh, that's nice. You know the answer. It's about every week. Not every week. John hit the horns. Wow, interesting beer. If you guys ever get out to Boston, I highly recommend stopping by Treehouse. It's kind of interesting. They've got this kiosk in this mall thing in like downtown Boston. So you go to the kiosk, you order your beer, and then you go pick it up at another like area. And then if you want to drink a beer, you go to another station where you can drink inside or go into this like little atrium area, which is very cool. Highly recommend it if you go to Boston and you love good beer. All that said, let's go with a new tune. Let's see, what do I have up my sleeve? I don't even know at this point. It's been a long night. Oh no, it hadn't been that long. But it's been a long day, let's say that. I tell you what, let's go with this, I like these chick bands lately. This is a band called Stitched Up Heart. And this one's called Medusa. Stitched Apart, Medusa. Not sure if you guys are digging like these newer like bands with chicks. And you're like, Ragman, I know they're hot, but can they rock? And you've heard it. You've heard it. I think you played Stitched Apart before. But you know, it's kind of interesting with like female bands or even just a female vocalist. They have to have the vocals that fit my ear. I would say, like, the first, like, real female vocal or vocalist that I really gravitated to was probably Ann Wilson from Heart. Liked her kind of gruff approach to the way she sings. She's got a great voice, too. Yeah, I like, you know, Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks. She's great. And there's others. As far as hard rock, heavy metal, it was probably Susie Soraya. I really dug her vocals when she was singing, and the band Soraya put out some great music. So now we got that band called The Warning that I played last week, and they've been kicking my ass, I'm not going to lie. They got that good groove, kind of a raw sound, but the girls, I think all three sing, and they all have great vocals, our voices. So I tell you what, I found a new song. This one's called Kerosene. So Kerosene is off their new album or upcoming record. It comes out on August 28th called Everything's Falling. So the first two tracks I've heard is like, hell yeah, I gotta check more of this out. I like this band. Maybe do a little more research on them, and who knows? They could be on the show. I don't know. But this is their fifth record, and again, it's called Everything's Falling, and this song's called Kerosene. Let's do it. Like that, The Warning. That song's called Kerosene. So, we're going to wrap up the show with the last topic, which I find kind of interesting because, again, I tell you all the time, I do my research on YouTube and I try to find new songs, new music to give you guys to listen to and, like, form an opinion. That's how I found The Warning. And I'm like, wow, I found a great band here. So, tonight, in my feed, I find this, like, band, and it's got Phil Collin in it from Def Leppard. And I'm like, well, Def Leppard's not really that good anymore. The new stuff they put out is not great. Before I play the new band, I'm going to play the latest Def Leppard track, their single that they've released, and let's see which band sounds more like Def Leppard now. Def Leppard, to me, has just gotten so boring. I know they did this whole thing. We're not a hard rock band. We're not a metal band. We're a pop band. They did that several years ago. And I'm not sure why Joe Elliott felt like he had to go out and tell the world, hey, we don't do hard rock. But when you started, sir, you were. That's what it was when you started. With On Through the Night, High and Dry, and Pyromania. And then you turned into more of a, like a pop metal band or pop hard rock band. Not metal, but pop hard rock. And then you're like, oh, well, that's not cool. So where's the pop band? And they lost their edge a lot. And then they have this, they've got Phil Collin, they got Vivian Campbell on the guitars. They're a pop band. Come on. So anyway, we're going to play a song real quick. This one's called Rejoice. This came out, like, I think at the beginning of the year, like back in January. And I'm not, I'll let you be the judge of what you think this song is. So let's listen to some new Def Leppard. And then we'll listen to a band that I guess Phil Collins in on the side. That sounds more like his old band than he did, does with his original band. If that makes any sense. Are you confused? I'm a little bit. Let's do it. Little Def Leppard, this is called Rejoice. Are you rejoicing after that song? I'm not. It was pretty bad. And they haven't put anything out really good in a long time. I'm sure Eddie Spunk is over there fucking jerking off all over himself, licking Phil Collins' cum. Oh, Phil, it's cum in my mouth. It's so good. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah, that's actually a live tape that we took from his show. Not that we listened, but it's on the internet. It's everywhere. But no, that was not good. It's not good. So I was very curious when I found this band called Crossbone Scully. It's a weird ass fucking name, but and they're like, hey, Phil Collins on this. I'm like, I don't really care, but I'm kind of curious. And I'm like, oh wow, that sounds more like Def Leppard than Def Leppard. Will the real Def Leppard stand up? I don't know. Maybe Phil's like, fuck, I can actually do what I was doing at Def Leppard when we were rocking, and this would be fun. Or maybe he's friends with this guy, Tommy Henriksen, that's in the band. I fucking don't know. And I don't really care that much. But I found it interesting that this song is a lot better than what Def Leppard's doing. So, all right, we're going to do this one. It's called Thunder Love by Crossbone Scully. That's like a tongue twister. And you be the judge. You tell me what you think. Let's do it. Is on Crossbone Scully, which you probably already figured that out. I'm assuming the majority of my audience is probably thinking the same thing. So I made a comment before I played the song. Who's this Tommy Henriksen guy? So he's played in the Alice Cooper Band, and he plays in the Hollywood Vampires, which I give two shits about. And then he played in Warlock. He was a bass player in Warlock. So he's been around the block. He's got to be a German guy with that name. I'm thinking the last name. Yeah, German, for sure. But, I mean, playing with Alice, you know, just like a live guitar player. Okay, I'll give him that. But Hollywood Vampires, I mean, he's playing with Joe Perry and fucking Johnny Depp. Who gives a fuck? No one really gives a shit that band. It's not very good. But I would say that song's okay. Am I going to, like, put it on the Spotify? No. But I found it interesting because when I was listening to it, before I read that he was in Alice Cooper's band, I was like, it's kind of like a mix between Def Leppard and late 80s, early 90s Cooper. I don't know what you guys thought, but that's what I thought. That's what I heard. That's what I think. So anyway, I'm done. But not all the way, because I've got a great interview with Danny Martin from Wicked coming up. And they got a brand new record called Go Rebel coming out on August 21st. And you're going to hear a lot about it. So guys, before I let you go, I want to say thank you for listening every week. Thank you for your comments when you send them.
Hey, hold on one second.
What's up?
My segment.
Dude, your segment is on hold. Apparently there's a gag order in place.
forget about that.
Dude, well, a gag order, what the... I mean, it's a segment. You have, like, big news or something?
It's kind of a big deal, that's all I'm saying.
Okay, well, you know, once I get the green light, you're on.
Okay, cool. Thanks, man.
All right. So, John Segment is on permanent or infinite hold until we get the green light from McCheese on whatever the fuck is going on in his world. But he's been extra happy, so I don't know what's going on. But anyway, God, I'm all confused after that happened. I think all I have to do is give you one big hose.
Hey, this is Danny from Wicked, and you're listening to The Ragman Show. Horns up.
Alright guys, you're on live, mano-y-mano, with a guy, I just enjoy talking to this guy so much. We partied on a party, or like a little Winnebago, drank craft beer, and hung out during the show, and he's been on the show, I think this is like your fifth appearance, man. Talking to Danny from Wicked. Danny, welcome back to the Ragman Show.
Pleasure to be back. Always love hanging out with you, my friend. Yeah, those were some good times, huh? I could go for a beer right now.
Let's do it. You're drinking water and I'm drinking coffee. How lame are we? But hey, seriously, you have to come back to Houston. I've been begging. Dude, it's probably been like 2 or 3 years since you've been here on the when it came with Vicious Rumors, right?
Yeah, and Raven, it's too long, man. We've got, like, that itch to be back in Texas. You wouldn't believe. But I do have some good news for you. When we get back from our UK-Ireland tour, you might just see some dates around the U.S., so keep an eye out.
Yeah, for sure. That'll be awesome. Remember, I have the beer. It's in a cooler waiting for you. And, dude, I know we talked beer last time. You were talking other half, and I was telling you about Fidens up in Albany. So yeah. I don't know if you ever tried any, got up to Albany and tried any of that beer yet, but.
Fantastic. I did. I made sure I did get some.
Oh, dude. So you had the Fidens, dude. Awesome. Dude, because fuck me. I'm on the beer app. I don't know if you remember. We were taking the pictures on the.
Sure.
On y'all's bus. And I had one last night. It was a 5 out of 1 to 5. It was so amazing.
No way.
A triple. Oh my God, dude.
Which one was that?
It was the throwback deadstock jersey. So it's got like an old Yankees jersey. It says like 33 on it.
Cool.
And dude. Freaking amazing. Yeah, my wife's looking at me like, what is wrong with you? It's like I had sex with this glass of beer. It was weird. Well, anyway, we're not here to talk about me screwing beer. We're here to talk about Wicked's brand new record called Go Rebel. And, dude, I got to say congratulations. This is an amazing record, dude. I really, really dig it. Before we jump in, let me ask you a question about how would you say this differs from, like, Sunburn?
Oh, it's... We kept going with the diversity of influence, and I think that's a definite win for us because we're looking to try to evolve but keep the brand core together. And it's a hard thing to do, but you got to look to the greats like David Bowie and Def Leppard and bands like that, right? That kept bringing that brand that people love in different packages. And Go Rebel is nothing short of that. We dived into some different approaches, whether it be in writing, production, or, you know, everything encompassed in that. And, you know, there's some heavy track moments. There's some pop track moments. There's some straight rock and roll anthems. And even some, you know, of those moments like Till You're in Love that are more of like a balladish kind of thing. But, you know, we moved away from the Marshalls on this album and went to Mesa Boogie. We got into a studio that had some killer analog gear and we played around with that. And room depths and things like that. You know, think back to the Black album, right? And how you could manipulate the sound. So a bit of an exploratory thing, controlled and managed by, you know, our best friend, Fifth Beatle, engineer producer Nacho Molino.
And he did a great job producing the record. It sounds amazing, man. So that's interesting. You kind of took a little bit different approach. So just going back to Sunburn real quick, how did you record that? I mean, was it more just go straight to the studio, do, you're not experimenting as much, like you said, with sounds and acoustics and stuff like that, right?
No, Sunburn was more of a raw rock album. And if you could imagine Led Zeppelin, you know, in one of those mansions, just recording in essentially a house, that was how we did Sunburn. It was in our house, using, you know, the cathedral ceiling and the living room, mics down the hallway, you know, padding against windows, very archaic and, you know, let's just frickin' rock and roll. Where Go Rebel, we put it through the ringer, you know, we wrote it, you know, at our leisure, like we do with our writing process. We then demoed it in our studio, multi-track, and then we went and we re-recorded all of that at, you know, this Linden Oaks studio that's, you know, not too far from our house, actually, but a beautiful place where, you know, the guys from Foreigner have been and different acts like that. And, you know, it's amazing with the modern age and how much has changed. You go to a beautiful place like this with all this great gear, and the appreciation is lost nowadays. So these guys were just so excited to have a band that was, you know, dead serious about what they were going to do and come in and use their facilities, because let's be honest, nowadays people just do it on their laptop. So, you know, there's something to be said about going back to that vintage approach.
That's awesome, man. Well, let me ask you about, as far as all the tracks, 13 tracks on the record, we got to hear Go Rebel pretty early, Obsession pretty early. Great songs to kind of lead you to get the hype going about the new record. Was this all fresh new material? Because I know we talked in the past, and Reptile Roots was kind of an older song you kind of brought back. You did the little, I guess it was like an EP thing you were giving, or like selling at shows.
For those who are obsessed, yeah, that had a mix of some of those singles and a couple of unreleased stuff, yeah. But a lot of old stuff, right? Re-recorded, you're right.
What about, so the new record, is this all newly written material or older stuff? It's more mix.
Fresh off the, you know, the frying pan. And I love to tell like how this kind of came about, because, you know, we've talked before, you know, you've got this big bucket of songs that you demo constantly and you kind of let sit there for, you know, the next opportunity, and you might go back and pick from them. Well, we started there with the process, and, you know, I think none of it was very old or already like limitedly released, but we were maybe one or two songs in like, you know, the selection process, and we were just getting so inspired by what was going on, coming off of tours with, you know, bands and shooting, you know, videos and getting excited about what we were thinking Go Rebel would be, that we started to write new songs. I'm thinking like Obsession all of a sudden was written out of nowhere, you know, Sunflower, and then all of a sudden the domino effect just starts going, and before you know it, you've got this brand new fresh album, things that weren't even in the backlog, and it almost is taking on like this theme of like what it's all about, and really what it ended up being was community, right? It's less of this narcissistic look of, you know, point of view on what we do, and more about like what we all do together, right? Which is rock and roll and all these different stories or ethos in there, but all coming back to that community point. And what an exciting thing, right? A way to rally the scene.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's jump into it. So we're talking Go Rebel out on August 21st. So next week, people, or when you're listening, it could be like 2 or 3 days from now, but you get the point, the 21st. I do want to bring up the very lead track, Teen Riot. Real quick, this sounds like something that could have been on The Last American Rock Band. It's got that high energy, just melodic, up-tempo rocker. And I love the part where you slow it down and get the chanting. I can't wait to be chanting with you guys when you play it live. Tell me a little bit about Teen Riot. Again, a great way to start the record, man.
Energy burner for like the beginning of sets, the beginning of the album. Like, you know, it, sometimes when you're in the band, you're thinking about how to create those moods and those moments, and you know, the beginning of anything is important. So Teen Riot really took on the challenge of that task. And I, you know, I'm thinking back to like bands like Sum 41 from the 2000s that, oh, yeah, you know, had that metal edge, but the drive and the melodicness and things like that. And, you know, it was something that just needed to happen. And you talked about like the chanting part. How cool. What a great way to get the crowd involved right away. And I remember doing it in the studio in like, you know, this huge room that just made everything sound like bigger than God.
Awesome.
You know what I mean?
That's so awesome. Yeah, that crazy. Is awesome. Oh, I love shit like that too. And I just love how it kind of takes you by surprise. You don't see the song going that way. So when it comes in, you're like, oh, I love surprises when I listen to music like that. So you got me on that. I really dig it.
That's awesome.
The next track I want to bring up, and this is one of the videos, and I really like when you guys do videos. The stuff in the studio is very cool, like Go Rebel. I really dug that. But Sunflower, mid-tempo rocker, nobody gets the girl. Chad ends up in the pool. I mean, there's a lot going on. And everybody's getting dissed by these two chicks. And they're just playing you guys. I hope you knew that was going on. No, fuck with you. But I love when you guys do stuff like that. So I'm excited about the video trilogy. Before we talk about that, let's talk about Sunflower, because you teased about the trilogy last time we spoke. So, but let's talk Sunflower, and then tell me, there's so many questions here. tell me about Sunflower, and then let me ask you about, do you like doing, like, where you guys are in the studio, and there's just a camera following you, and then they piece it all together, or do you like kind of the storyline performance, like by a pool or whatever, something like that?
We'll be right back.
Well, listen, Sunflower, you know, secretly, whether the fans end up getting it or not, it's definitely our homage to bands that are unexpected influences like Third Eye Blind, we were listening to a lot of like Prince and Michael Jackson. Oh, wow. And you know, when you think about that stuff, that all happens to us because we're music fans and we have a huge vinyl collection that's not just rock and roll. And so if you walk into the house, we're always listening to vinyl. So that's the cool part of like how you get in the blender some different influences. So we wanted that kind of sensual, sexualized kind of song, this like, you know, courting song of two lovers, and, you know, a little bit of a rappiness to the vocals. So very fun, very cool, different, still got the guitar rock in there, right? And we set out, like you said, to do the video, and it turned into a three video trilogy, right? So, you know, just a little fun story, but I won't give away the whole story yet because we've got the second video for the song Red Hot dropping August 21st with the album release.
Awesome.
So you're going to see what happens. But yeah, to your point, right, in Sunflower, you know, we've got these two chicks that we meet, and you know, man, everybody's striking out. It's not good. You know, and us rockers, you know, we've got egos the size of a Mack truck. So it's like, you know, what is happening here? So, you know, we're on the chase. And we'll see what happens. But what a fun way to start the album. I was just telling somebody else, you know, it's funny because those videos were very integral. They helped kind of position our creativity around what the album was going to kind of feel and look and sound like, because we didn't have the artwork or anything done yet. And here we go out to shoot videos while we're, you know, in Anaheim and LA for NAMM and for the House of Blues show. And, you know, all of a sudden we find ourselves in this red 66 GTO and we're cruising through the streets down the Sunset Strip and just causing a ruckus. And, you know, we were like, oh shit, we're kind of starting to get a sense for what we're doing here with this album. This is what it's all about, going to the Rainbow, going to the Whiskey, hanging out with friends new and old. Like, so it was a big inspiration for us, for sure, and drove that path of a lot of things for the album.
That's awesome, man. So as far as the video, do you like doing the storyline video, or do you like more the performance, like behind the scenes?
I'll put it this way. It's we prefer when a video is birth from an adventure. So when you see those like storyline ones, it's typically like we were like, hey, let's go to the desert or something, and we're going to create a story out of this. So I think those are the ones we lean towards because it's an experience for us, and like the vibes that you're going to get through the video are really just things that we're living out in the moment. Always cool to see like what's going on in the studio and some live performance, but you know, a lot of people do them. And so for us, we always lean on the adventure part of it.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, I do want to bring up the other video, one of the other videos, Go Rebel. It's something we talked about the song before. It's a great song, but I've never got this before while watching the video. There's a girl in the control booth singing. Who That's is right. she? And is she actually singing backing vocals on the record?
She is. This is Krista Shipperbottom, formerly of the band Lutharo, a death metal.
Oh, that was her? Oh, yeah. I interviewed her before. She's very cool.
So here we are getting off of the Raven and Vicious Rumors tour that Lutharo was on with us as well. And Krista came down from Canada to hang out with us, and we were like
That's
just
awesome.
Hanging out on the back porch, drinking some beers, and you know, enjoying the sun. And we were like, "Hey, you know what? We got an idea. You want to sing some backing vocals on Go Rebel?" And she's like, "Yeah, let's do it." Like it's not my typical singing, and we're like, "Even cooler. No one will know."
Yes, exactly. That's so cool because she's just there's like two clips I think of her. And they're so fast, I didn't recognize her.
See, that's Train so Spotters. Awesome. It's we love the little Easter eggs and videos.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'm going to bring up my favorite song on the record. It's stuck in my head. I'm singing it, and I'm hitting the backward button on it. I probably heard the song like 10, 15 times in the last day. It's called Strike Like Lightning. Mid-tempo, melodic. That chorus, holy cow. It kind of has kind of a Cheap Trick feel to it a little bit. Oh, my God, dude. Congrats. I love that song. I'm praising you now. I'm doing this. It's happening.
Fun song to play live, and I remember testing it out New Year's Eve a couple of years ago, like when we were first starting to write the album, and you know, people, like a New Year's Eve crowd, no one wants to play New Year's Eve if you're a real rock band, you know, that's like, it's like, you don't do that shit, and you know, we did this, and like, here are all what I would call, you know, your normies, you know, people out with, you know, dresses and suits, and, you know, just there for the champagne, and they were like, heads like just turned when we played that song, and they were like getting into it and singing it. I'm like, this, no one knows this song, it's not even out, you know. And to your point, it's it's got a great feel and melody and everything, and we're excited for that one for sure.
Well, that chorus is infectious. It really is. It really gets into your head to where I think the first listen I was probably singing by, you know, two-thirds, three-quarter of the song, because it's so good. I hope that's going to be a single. I think that could be a big one for you, because it's catchy.
I love the feedback, because, you know, us, we're just video happy over here. So it's like, you know, if I'm going to have some downtime, I'm shooting a music video, and I'm always looking for suggestions from the fans.
Well, I'll tell you this. I will offer my services to be in your next video. If you need a guy, you give me the
Let's do it.
Free of charge.
Texas, baby.
And I'll bring the beer. How about that? Win-win. I'm like paying you to be in the video, and you'll just like, I'll be the Easter egg. But no, I think that'd be a great single, man. Another one I love is Cool Bars. This is the funny thing between this and the last record. Last record, I like more of the mid-tempo stuff, ballady stuff, and this is all the high-energy rockers, because it's, again, it's that Cheap Trick meets a little bit of Thin Lizzy meets, like, a little bit more modern-day stuff, too. It's a really good mix of what you guys got. And I know we talked last time, you were listening to a lot of Jet at one point. So, tell me about Cool Bars, another just great, great song, and the ending specifically reminded me of Cheap Trick, the way you end the song.
If your days I'm confused from your weekday blues and you're crying, if you're down on your luck just from making a buck to survive, I got the thing that you need, you know what I mean, getting higher, that's what I'm talking about, this place is on fire.
total cheap trick, you know. God almighty, I mean, we just blow through those records. Like, thank God there's all those old copies of them, because we have to keep going and, like, getting new ones after we wear them out. One of our favorite bands, but Cool Bars was our way of leaning into a modern, original version of something that could have been Cheap Trick. And, you know, it was this fun story, you know, of just, you know, where do you find, you know, the hot chicks, basically, at these bars and stuff. And it does, it drives, it moves, and, you know, it's got these cool backing parts, everything you want out of a fun rock and roll song, and, you know, secretly one of my favorites. It's so hard, too, because then you got to pick singles, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there's always this big argument, and Cool Bars is one of mine arguments that I lost, for sure, so far.
Well, Spark, let me ask you this, because we kind of dove into this before, but when you go to record a new record, you all live together, so it's easy. I mean, how does the songwriting process really work? Is it, you know, maybe Scotty comes in or Chad comes in, I got a riff, I got a melody, or you have that as well? How does it, the songwriting process, go within Wicked, and has it changed from, you know, the first record to where you are now?
Oh, it hasn't really changed. It's, you know, it's very fluid and open. You know, there's, I think what's happening more often is unexpected contributors will come in unexpected ways. So that's happening more. You know, what I mean there is, you know, although Scotty plays guitar, maybe I come up with something for his guitar part. And then he makes it, like, realized, or Gunner or somebody. But, you know, it starts in different places for different songs, you know? Maybe I got a song idea, just a word, a name, a theme, an idea, and the guys help me put it together. Or it starts with, you know, just some guitar riffs, and then I'm like, okay, I know what this has to be about. And I think with Go Rebel, like I said before, once we kind of got started with, we're like thinking we're going to pick songs for it, mm-hmm. we started to write stuff out of this excitement, and, you know, the ideas were almost just hovering over us, and we were just grabbing them out of the sky and putting them down on you know, on recordings, and it was a very cool experience, something that I won't forget for sure.
That's awesome. And I see maturity with this record, even past Sunburn.
Yeah.
This album's a bit more cohesive, not knocking Sunburn at all. I love that record. It's a great record. Yeah. But I see you guys are growing as a band. And I love that. You can see that progression. It's not the same thing every time. There's progression each record. I love that.
That's it. We want to make some new stuff, some exciting moments for the fans, and, you know, the diversity on the album was a big thing, and kind of being having it curated for the listener to a degree, where there was a little bit more thought of what it would end up be as an end product, rather than just getting the best 13 songs that we thought we had. So I think it'll be a process that will continue to evolve. I'll give you a little hint. There's a couple of sets of songs that I think will materialize into albums that we've done just that with. And hey, I'm excited to keep pushing that needle.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Let me ask you this. So 13 songs wind up on the record. How many did you write? And then did you write 13 and, like, we're done? Or do you have, like, 20 or maybe not even finished ideas? But how many finished songs did you do? And you're like, all right, let's just keep it. We want 13 songs. And then these we save for, you know, like a unreleased track or maybe the next record.
Trying to work up 30 that wow. became 13. And I think we got pretty close to that. The idea there is just kind of a quality control, as well as making sure that in that curation process, we were, serving what the end goal was intended to be to a degree. I think we've got a bit of learning to do as we go, and some of the other newer albums we've started to work on, we could see ourselves making headway there. But, you know, it's a balance between being authentic and keeping that independent rock and roll mindset that definitely brings value, but also pushing things to a degree where it's almost like, hey, if there was a record label here, the good parts of how they would do things, what would they be telling us we're missing, right? Like, what are we missing in terms of what a listener might want out of a product? And those moments that you're trying to put a soundtrack to for the listener. So we kind of put our focus there, which was a different approach as well.
Well, I love that you guys are, it's pretty much your baby, and you have total control, which allows you to track listing. You're not bitching with this guy, I don't like the cover art or whatever. I think that's great. You guys have total control. And I think that as you mature more as a band, as long as you all stay in the same headspace, I mean, you guys are going to go far.
Yeah, it is nice. It's one of the beauties of how we're doing it right now. You know, we're always up to challenge ourselves and try new things, but having control of what you do and owning it, whether it goes well or not, is an important aspect to how we do things. And, you know, we don't always agree on everything, but you're right. We do have a common trajectory and mindset that does keep this band very focused and on the same page, which is just a magical thing for sure.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, last song I'm going to bring up is Red Hot. You mentioned it a little bit ago, Uptempo Rocker. Another really memorable chorus, and I like this section that you do after the chorus, right before the solo, where Chad's singing, and by the way, tell Chad, vocally, he's just getting better and better and stronger and stronger, but I really like Scotty's solo on that song as well.
Standout moment for sure for us, another fun one. I think if you were to ask everybody, this is Scotty V's favorite song, so he's super stoked for the video to come out, and you know, a great song to catch live again.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to help you with the set list when you come to Texas. You know that, right? Yeah. So, I helped you last time, and
we'll give you a shout.
I'm sure you will. Well, hey. Anyway, let's talk about touring real quick. Yeah. UK Ireland tour with the Kings of Thrash. So up with another, well, you play with them quite a bit, but I always find it interesting, your style of music with these really heavy bands, and it works. I've seen it. So first time to play the UK in Ireland?
Our first time over the pond, so it's super exciting for us. You know, again, just a bunch of dreamers sitting in our, you know, parents' basement, looking up rock and roll when we're kids and dreaming up this band. And here we are, jumping on that big old jet plane to go overseas. And it's an awesome feeling. It's an awesome moment. And we're excited to be in front of our European fans. And it's just the start. So, you know, more to come with that.
Man, I'm very excited for you. Really happy for you. Do you think you go over there and maybe pick up some dates in Europe? Or is it mainly just going to be for UK, Ireland, come home?
Yeah, no, we're very laser focused with our strategies of what we do, and a lot of that is to be able to afford for us to get back out there, right? And like, so we got a plan. We're gonna go in, hit these territories. We're coming back to the U.S. You're gonna see U.S. dates to support Go Rebel, and that'll bring us all around the country and out to the West Coast. And then we're going to Japan next June, right?
Oh,
So
awesome.
we're making our way around the world, and eventually back to mainland Europe. So, patient and excitement mixed into the same kind of like ball of wax. But don't worry, we're gonna be out there because the best moments are those moments in front of a live stage, and we can't wait to see everybody there.
Awesome. Well, let me ask you about the US leg after the UK Ireland adventure. Are you supporting or will you be headlining? Or can you say?
Can't say yet. I think there will be a mix for sure, and we'll be announcing those dates soon after we get back from Europe, so keep an eye out for them. But I'll tell you what, like our US fans, our bread and butter is we're just so excited to be back out there. It's been a little bit since the Raven tour, so we're gonna be bringing awesome merchandise, a lot of fun and energy, and let's make this party crazy is all I got to say.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Danny, before we let you go, is there something you want to tell the fans out there? You kind of just told them, but is there any more you want to tell the fans out there?
Listen, it's so important. Stay connected with us because this news just drops out of nowhere sometimes. So, yeah, you could go to our website, wickedrockandrollofficial.com, or our socials at Wicked Rock and Roll. But make sure you sign up for the newsletter, the mailing list. When you get on there, there's now a new text message. Phone number for the Wicked team, and that goes out to you. You want to have that stuff because that keeps us connected, right? And we're going to be able to set up the next party, the next live show, all that stuff, and stay connected with you. You won't miss a beat, and you're going to get some cool early things, some freebies, all kinds of exciting stuff. So check it out. You can see it on our Komi, our website, any of our socials, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys out there.
Awesome. Well, Danny, I lied. I have one more question. Just as far as your touring experience, because you've done these heavier bands, but I saw you played with like Buck Cherry and the late great Ace Frehley. I
Oh,
don't
yeah.
know if those were like little tours or just one-offs.
Some one-offs, but I'll tell you, man, there's nothing better than being out with some rock and roll bands too, of course. It's our bread and butter, and all I'll say about that is, you guys got to step it up, like the metal fans. They're always out there supporting, and that's why there's a lot of metal shows. So that's a challenge to our rock and rollers.
I do have a question because you guys are old school guys. With playing with, especially a band like or a guy like Ace Frehley, was there a little starstruck moment? Did you get to interact with him much, or was it more, "Hey, your support, I'm back here." He seemed really cool when he was alive, but.
We did get to interact with him and his band. Amazing band, by the way. And bittersweet moment for us because probably like the second to last show before he passed.
Oh, wow.
He does his thing, and he was incredible to the last moment doing it. So starstruck in that sense, but always very cool to meet some of these people. Not everybody's the same with their attitudes, but it was a pleasure meeting Ace for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Danny, I want to thank you once again for coming on the Ragman Show. And I want to tell all the fans to get Wicked's brand new record, Go Rebel, out on August 21st. I'm speaking right here to everyone. This album rocks. It's badass. It's just get in the car, roll down the windows, and crank that mother up because it's just some great rocking tunes, man. And you will be singing along. If you're not, then call me and then we'll have a conversation like this. You know what I'm saying? No. But anyway, no, guys, it's an amazing record. So, Danny, we're going to do something very special for the audience. I know you know what we're going to do. Horns up!